Our scripture reading for our meditation this evening is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, verses 13 and 14. And let us rise to hear these words in our Lord's name. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen and increase our faith through them. Amen. Infamous murderer and robber, John Dillinger, was finally caught in Chicago and gunned down in an alley. The police department and the agents that finally captured him permitted some of the local vendors to make copies of his toe tag, and they published thousands of these and sold them. They claim that 15,000 people came to see his body in the city morgue where they had him displayed. J. Edgar Hoover, the head of the FBI, took Dillinger's gun and hat and had them displayed in his office for many, many years. The police wanted it to be known and wanted it to be seen that this is what happens when you pursue a life of crime. And one of the police officers, speaking to the press, said, "We want everybody to know that the wages of sin is death." However, many of those people came just to be fascinated to be in the presence of the dead corpse of somebody who was such an infamous criminal. They claim that at the scene of his death, men bent down with handkerchiefs and dipped them in the blood of Dillinger in the alley, and women dipped down and dipped their skirts in his blood so they could have a souvenir and a token of his death. It's kind of strange how sometimes we are fascinated by death. And I remember years ago talking to an owner of a video store, and I said, "When teenagers come in to rent videos, what is the most popular video?" And he said, "One that's called The Faces of Death." And it was actual footage of real murders and real deaths that somebody had put together. Video games today, likewise, make a lot of money, allowing people to have the sensation of killing people. Hollywood makes lots of money on slasher films. It seems like the more we move along from my day till today, they have to have more dead bodies to make sure the movie is really going to hold people's attention. One of the dangers of this, of course, is that it can kind of desensitize us to the reality of death and just what a vicious enemy it really is for us. If you remember that childhood tale about the Pied Piper who played the flute and danced in front of a group of children, finally leading them into a dark cave to their death. The devil is sort of like that. In this world, he kind of prances in front of us and makes us follow along as if life is going to be so good and so fine, and really at the end, all that's waiting for us is the cave of death. Death is the ultimate dissolver of things. It's the dissolution of so many things for us. St. Paul talks about in our text people that have no hope. It dissolves a man's strength. We think about little teenage David standing in the city of Jerusalem in the streets holding the head of Goliath, the 8-foot giant, completely chopped off in his hands. It dissolves our good looks. Just imagine what your face will look like 2 weeks after your burial. It dissolves our financial success. If you go into a graveyard, they're all dead. Doesn't matter how much money they had or how big the stone is above their head. And it dissolves all of our honor. The great composer Amadeus Mozart was thrown into a pauper's grave along with common criminals and street people. There are finally only three windows through which you and I can really view death. The first one is just a clear window, and just to see it in all of its ugliness and its reality, unfiltered, raw. And that is terrifying. It's a terrifying view of death. The second is through a painted glass window. where we try to dress it up and make it not seem so bad and kind of fool ourselves and live in the illusion that maybe it's not so bad. But the third and final window is that of the Christ window. And that's where St. Paul calls us to come and look at death through that window tonight. He's the only one who's had the power to defeat this enemy for us. He's the one who says to death, "Death, I will be your death." The words of our text are often read to family members at funerals right before they go into the sanctuary together. Quite often pastors will read these words. They're very comforting as we look at death now through the Christ window. "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in him." It's like Paul is saying, come over here to the Christ window. This is where God wants you to look at your future death and all death. When Abraham stood with the knife in his hand above his young son Isaac, about to kill him by God's command, he was able to stand there ready to fulfill God's command to him, as difficult as it was, because he was looking at Isaac's death through the Christ window. The author of Hebrews tells us that Abraham reasoned that God could raise his boy back to life from the dead. And this is the wonderful power that our Lord brings to us. Notice, God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. That's how casually God, through Christ, will address death for us. Those who have fallen asleep in him. Jesus says to you, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die." That's something that's so simple that even a little child can possess this power over death. It goes unnoticed by the world, just in a little heart, when somebody by faith grabs on to their Savior. Go into the hospital, and even the weakest person in the hospital, the most crippled person in the nursing home, can still possess and have this tremendous power over death. And notice the certainty Paul speaks with. He doesn't say God might do this. No, God will bring with Jesus. In the same way that he has already risen, you and I can count on that from God as well. And that is why Christianity is always bringing us back to the Christ window for us to look at our deaths. Sunday worship. We worship on Sunday to remember our Lord's day, that he rose again on that very day. When we are reminded of our baptism and go back to it in repentance, we were baptized into Christ, into his death, and also united in his resurrection, St. Paul says. When we take the Lord's Supper, Jesus said to his disciples and to his whole church, "Until I eat this with you in a new way in my Father's kingdom." In other words, I'm allowing you to look at the end of your life through the Christ window. I'll see you again. Sometimes when I go out for a run or a walk in my neighborhood, one of the oldest cemeteries in Mankato is about 4 blocks from my house. And I often think as I go past there, there are about 30 or 40 graves in there. I often think some of the stones are so old and decrepit you can't even read them anymore, from way back in the 1800s. But as I go through there, I often think to myself, in which of these graves lie my fellow saints of Christ who will rise up someday and come to heaven? Make sure that every night, when you go to bed and your head hits the pillow, make sure that you fall asleep in Christ, so that the night that your death finally does come to take you, you will be sleeping in him and someday rise again victorious in heaven. He alone is the great dissolver of your death. Amen.